I'm Jason Gay, and for Bill Littlefield, it's time for three stories you should know. At Thursday night's NBA draft, fans of Sad Sack franchises from Phoenix to Atlanta to New York pin their hopes and dreams on a new crop of teenagers. But we're going to focus on a different draft story this week. I'm joined by Rachel Bachman, my esteemed colleague at the Wall Street Journal. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Jason.
And with us, the Chicago Tribune's Malika Andrews. Welcome, Malika.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
All right. Malika, you were at the NBA draft Thursday night in Brooklyn.
I was.
What stood out to you at that great gala affair?
There were several things that stood out. I guess from a basketball standpoint, it was how far Michael Porter Jr. fell. But yeah. Aside from sort of the nitty-gritty, it was the fashion. We had Trae Young show up looking like a choir boy in shorts. I don't know what this trend is with short suits that is happening right now. Jason, perhaps you should be rocking some of those.
Nobody wants to see those legs.
I mean, there was kind of like a whole spectrum of things, all right? We had the guys who had their families' names written in on the inside of their coats. We had folks who dressed like T'Challa from the Black Panther. I think that was Wendell Carter Jr. who the Bulls ended up picking, because he said, you know, it's really important to me to show images of powerful Black men. And his mom said, all right, I want to see you kind of embody that same sort of power. So he ended up doing that Gucci scarf wrapped around his shoulders kind of in the same way. So it was really interesting to kind of see all these guys dressed up and in their draft best.
As a sports writer, does it put a pressure on you to somehow like also be a fashion writer? Do you feel like you may now have to identify, you know, that's a Gucci scarf, or maybe those shorts are from Dolce & Gabbana? Are these things that now sports writers need to master?
I think for someone, that is going to be a fantastic niche. Now more than ever, there's a sense that you need to be culturally aware to be a sports writer, whatever that means. And I think fashion is sort of a part of that.
I have to give props to the patron saint of NBA draft fashion, Jalen Rose from 1994. You know, his red suit with the white pinstripes kind of got this all started. He really set the expectation that players could and would wear expectation dress, right? Like, these are my expectations for myself. I'm going to make a statement. And I think it's just evolved from there.
And it's interesting, right? Because we're seeing the NBA take off viewership-wise, where other leagues are sort of struggling to gain new viewers. And I think part of that is because these guys have, there's so much going on with them sort of off of the court, and part of that is fashion.
Jay Billis, a wonderful analyst, but, you know, he needs to know what a Balenciaga bag looks like. He needs to know what Louboutin spike shoes are, you know? Like, these things need to happen.
The Louboutin spike shoes running at $1,300 a pair were all over the place.
Wow.
but when you break it down, it's only, $650 per shoe. So it's very important. All righty, Rachel, what have you got for us?
Well, as you might know, the U.S. Olympic Committee has had a rough few years. The exposure of USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar as a serial abuser has turned the Olympic movement upside down. It's forced resignations at a bunch of national governing bodies as they've looked at how they've examined abuse allegations and the resignation of the former CEO. So now the USOC is looking for a new CEO. And, you know, it's considering the usual slate of sports industry leaders and insiders. But I propose that we think outside the box and brainstorm, just use more jargon, apparently. Let's brainstorm a dream leader for Team USA, regardless of salary limits or even whether this person exists in real life. I'm going to start with a few ideas.
Okay.
Number one, The Rock, a.k.a. Dwayne Johnson. Widely popular, former Miami football player, wrestler. Yeah. Number two, Barack Obama. Mm. He has experience managing large organizations. And Serena Williams, she, you know, her career is winding down, and she's a four-time Olympic gold medalist herself.
Well, Malika, what do you think of Rachel's suggestions?
I mean, I think it's hard to top the Barack Obama suggestion, especially since it seems like he may have a little bit of free time right now. But I mean, if we're going fictional route, I mean, why not T'Challa from the Black Panther? I think, you know, the U.S. Olympic Committee needs a little bit of vibranium right now. It seems like you know, towards the end of the movie, he seemed willing to talk to other nations about how they became successful. I think he might need to sprinkle a little bit of that magic, the Wakanda Forever magic, on the U.S. Olympic Committee.
They could definitely use it. Rachel, why not? Why don't you just Dick Cheney it and nominate yourself?
Well, the little secret here is this is a really extremely tough job at a very, very tough time. So I'm not really that interested, to be totally honest.
But let's play out the hypothetical a little bit here. Assuming they can meet your salary requirements, I mean, what do you think would be in the first 100 days the main goal? What would be sort of the main objective of those first 100 days?
I think, first of all, you have to answer some questions about athlete safety, right? There's just some basic questions about, you know, making sure that if there are allegations of abuse, they're followed up on. And also, you know, just advocating for and listening to athletes. They've also got a lot of responsibility to raise money. And often that takes a lot of their time and energy.
We've had a little bit of fun here, but, you know, this is obviously effectively an emergency at the USOC. Mm-hmm. Whoever they hire here is walking into an incredibly serious situation in terms of athlete safety and repairing the image of the governing body. But Rachel, just, you know, if all that stuff didn't exist, the sort of charge of the job is to win. Isn't that still sort of the primary directive?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that stuff matters to sponsors, which, you know, help in turn fund future Olympic teams. So, you know, hey, the medal count matters.
It's my turn, so listen up. We got some cycling news. The Tour de France is coming up in July, cycling's grandest event, and it wouldn't be the Tour de France without another queasy doping controversy, and this year it involves Chris Froome, the race's defending champion, a four-time winner, who, you know, over the winter, he tested positive for irregularly high levels of the asthma drug salbutamol. And so here we have Froome coming into the race. People not very happy about that. The former French champion, Bernard Hinault, coming out and urging riders to strike if Froome shows up on the starting line on the way to Paris. You know, I love this sport. I've been around it for a long time. I don't know if you guys are cycling nuts like I am, but does my sport just look ridiculous right now?
Well, yes, in a word, but I don't think it's much less ridiculous than some other sports. If you look at the Winter Olympics, I mean, I still can't believe that Russia had almost as big a delegation at those games as it did at the games it hosted 4 years earlier in Sochi, despite world doping authorities finding that Russia had executed basically the biggest doping scandal of all time.
Yeah.
There are many other sports right now that are, I think, in the middle of similar crises where not only is there doping, but there's a real crisis of enforcement.
And then the consequences aren't, I mean, like you said, they're not that severe, right? We see Russian athletes may have competed in neutral uniforms, but they were still, everyone knew they were, you know, athletes from Russia. And then, you know, after one Olympics saying that, okay, like, you're going to just have to wear this different color and not carry your flag and just be low-key, Vladimir. Like, it's going to be okay. After one Olympics, is that all right? That was good. We'll see you next time. How hard should they be pushing back on this? I don't know.
I know it's a hard thing, right? You're focused on preparing, and if you're a clean athlete, preparing cleanly, and now you're expected to adjudicate the sport, it just seems really unfair. My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been The Wall Street Journal's Rachel Bachman. See you Monday at work, Rachel.
See ya.
And the Chicago Tribune's Malika Andrews. Thank you, Malika.
Thanks for having me, Jason.